Let's open up our Bibles to Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. And I want to talk to you tonight. I want to share with you a word of encouragement. I want to title this message, Disguised Breakthroughs. How God disguises breakthroughs in our life. But Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 5, let us begin there. It says, "And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre. As he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, 'O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servants. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may pass on, since you have come to your servant.' So they said, 'Do as you have said.'" Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 15 gives us a promise that kind of expands what we just read about the life of Abraham. But Hebrews 6, 10 through 15 declares, "For God is not unjust." How many know that? God's not unjust. "And he will not forget your work and the love you have shown for his name as you have ministered to the saints and continue to do so. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end." Somebody say, "The very end." "In order to make your hope sure. Then you will not be sluggish, but you will imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. When God has made his promise to Abraham, since he had no greater to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you and multiply your descendants.' And so Abraham, after waiting patiently, obtained the promise." I don't know if you got those last two verses, but those last two verses are so powerful. Verse 13, again, "When God made his promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater to swear by, he swore to himself." Wow. He swore to himself, saying, "I will surely bless you and multiply your descendants." And so Abraham, after waiting patiently, obtained the promise. That is so powerful, because God does not need to look to hope to anybody else to make sure what he promises comes to pass. When God speaks it, it's because the promise and the hope is in him to say so. And what God says he's going to do, he does. Amen. And the Bible says that Abraham is an example for us, that what happens when we patiently wait, we obtain the promise as he has. Let me give you a little story of my life at some point. But May of 2011, I had been in a severe accident. As I was traveling to Colorado for evangelistic service meetings, on the way at the ends of the state of Utah, a random snowstorm, you know, had begun, and which caused poor road conditions. Unfortunately, the vehicle that I was driving, it lost control. And from what I can remember, I flipped at least 5 to 6 times in the snow until I blacked out and woke up sideways, driver's side to the floor on the highway stretch. I was bleeding, still in the driver's seat. And the only reason I believe the car didn't flip or, you know, flip off a deep end or worse was because the red rock all throughout the sides of the highways of the state of Utah is what you see. And so there are some ends through the highway of the state of Utah where there are deep ends that fall deep down on the highway. And my car had flipped. Fortunately, somebody say, I don't know why you say fortunately. I say fortunately because I didn't get a deep end. I got a red rock that stopped my Jeep from flipping more. But I thank God for that, because the car was able to stop to a certain extent because of those red rock. God did something at that time of my life that I want to share with you. Because the people that helped me out of my vehicle when I lost control and I flipped the vehicle and I wrecked, it was a couple that was traveling by a semi-truck. And behind me, when I lost control, they were the ones that seen everything take place in course. And as I was in the car, they stuck their hand down there and pulled me up and made sure that I was okay and helped me out of the vehicle, and my ears were ringing. I'll never forget, my ears were ringing. I was still dizzy. I was staring at the Jeep sideways, and I could not believe it. All my stuff was out on the highway. I was trying to compose myself. I was all jittery, and my heart was racing, and the pain of my body started to gradually be felt. Little by little, the pain of the accident start to kick in. And as I begin to hear more clearly, the couple talks to me, and they kept asking me these things. What is your name? What is your name? Hey, what is your name? How old are you? And they started asking me, where are you from? What city are you from? Or what state are you from? And how are you feeling? And they just kept repeating these questions until I began to come to conscience and start to answer these questions. They repeated it to me, and they said to me, hey, we're not going anywhere. Do you want to sit in our truck and warm up and dry up? Are you okay? While the ambulance comes, you just kick back here and everything's going to be okay. We're not going nowhere. And I simply stated, I'm okay out here. Then they said, okay, just sit down right here. And they sat me on one of the rocks that were there. And they put a blanket around me. And they began to gather my stuff off the highway. And I was looking at them gather my saxophone, my suit, my Bible, and the lady grabbed my Bible and looked back at me. She grabbed my Bible and she looked back at me and she began to cry. She began to weep and cry heavily there in the snow. As snow was falling, she grabbed my Bible and she looked back at me and she began to cry. And there the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said something that I will never forget. The Holy Spirit told me at that moment, he said, you're here for them. Minister to them. Pray and speak hope over their marriage. And he ended off by saying, serve me, Emmanuel. And as I sat there, the ambulance arrived. I was still tender. I was still shocked. And I didn't want to do what the Holy Spirit was asking me because I felt like it was a time for me to recover. And as I sat there, the ambulance and the paramedic, they took control. And as I was sitting in the bed in the ambulance, they were staring and lightly organizing my things in a small pile to the side. And the paramedics told me, we're going to tighten you down now and we're going to take you down to the local hospital. Is that okay? And I said, yeah, of course. And again, the Holy Spirit came to me again and said, serve me, Emmanuel. You're here for them. And the husband and the wife came to me and told me, hey, we put your stuff right there on the side and we put it in a small little pile. We had some bags in the back of our truck. We just gathered as much as we could there for you to take, and they'll take it down with you. I said, I greatly appreciate that. And I smiled and I thanked them. And as they were walking back to the truck, I told the paramedic, I need to go and share some words with them, please. Can I please go? Just please, I'll come right back. They said, okay. So I got off and I went running to them, and they turned around and I said to them, can I pray with you guys? And they quickly said, yes, please. I said, I was going to preach in Colorado, but the Lord told me I was at this place right now for you guys. To tell you guys, there is hope in your marriage. There is hope in your relationship. And if you will believe God, he can restore this unity between you guys. And the woman just shocked. She just began to cry. Right in the middle, while the snow was falling, we were outside. She could not believe it. She just began to cry. And I said, can I pray with you? She said, yes. And I began to pray with them. And her and her husband grabbed each other's hands. And I just began to pray. You know, I still had band-aids, small cuts on my nose, my ear. My hands were shattered, cut up. And I just began to pray with them right there. Speak the word of the Lord as a messenger. God gave me a word in my heart to deliver to them at that very moment. And I ended the prayer by saying, God, all of this has taken place, but you're going to receive the glory. I am here to deliver a message even in the midst of my calamity. I am here to deliver your message to these people, God. That you would bless them, Lord. That you would bless their union. That you would bless their marriage. That you would restore them back in love with each other, God. She was in shock right after I finished praying. She said, I want to just tell you that right before you had lost control on the road, we were discussing the motive of divorce. Said, because things had not been well for some years in our marriage, and I had told my husband, I want to take this ride with you, and we have a lot of things to talk over, because he had a drive to go and deliver some things for the job. And I said, it's going to be a couple days. I think that this is the best time to have time to talk about how we're going to either get back on track or finalize and decide for a divorce. And all of a sudden you wreck in front of us and you tell us that God has hope for our marriage. Hallelujah. I want you to just understand something. God wants to use each and every one of you. There is a grace and an anointing that is set on your life to bless others. But it seems as if at times when we are going through it, serving God by serving others is not on our minds. Because we're going through either suffering or calamity. We're going through difficult times in our lives. And the outward perspective is not even our view. It is inward when we're going through troubles and trials. Abraham experienced breakthrough at that moment in his life. In the previous chapter, I want you to just remember something. In the previous chapter, chapter 17, God had just made a covenant with Abraham. He told Abraham what? That he would make a vast generation out of him and a nation out of him. That his wife would bear a son and his name would be Isaac. But a request was made to Abraham in sign of covenant. Now, I can't explain too much of that, but I am going to just give you a brief summary of what that covenant that God had made with Abraham. He said to Abraham, Abraham, I want to make a covenant with you that would separate you from the descendants and generation and people apart from the rest of the world. To distinguish that you belong to me, God. That's what God told Abraham. And that you are identified with the covenant that I have made with you. He told Abraham to circumcise himself and all of his descendants, every male, even slave bought, every male in his home, he asked for them to be circumcised. Now, the nature of circumcision, I hope we all understand that, but it is a male thing that takes place. It is an excruciating process for a male. But he asked for the male of the house of Abraham and every descendant and every son that would come after him to be circumcised in sign of covenant with God. The covenant that God made with Abraham. And that was what, the flesh of his foreskin of every son of Abraham should be cut off. Some say that this covenant God made with Abraham's because of health measures. It was more healthy. Whatever the reason or whatever the case of it was a sign of obedience to God in all matters. A sign of belonging to that covenant with God. Signifying that once circumcised, there was no turning back. That man would be identified as a Jew, as a person identified with the nation of God. The cutting off signified the severing of the old life of sin. Purifying one's heart and dedication of oneself to God. Genesis chapter 17, 3 through 14 declares, Abram fell on his face and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you. And you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between you and me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be your God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant. You and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant. Look what the Lord told Abraham. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people, and he has broken my covenant. You might say, man, that is intense. I would imagine that all the males that are in the house and all the males that are viewing online, they are freaking out right now saying, what is going on? I'm one. Brother Josh said two. I don't know who can count as three or who can say as four, but you're probably saying, this is crazy. What do you mean cut off? But this was the covenant that God had made with Abraham. Now we know circumcised or uncircumcised, Gentile or Jew, we all belong to God through the Son Jesus Christ. That's what Romans declares about faith. We know that Jesus Christ has completed that, and now we belong to God in faith in Jesus Christ. The fact that I prayed Jesus Christ into my heart, that was my circumcision. Jesus Christ invading my life has become my circumcision to be a part of the family of God. So we know that God made a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham fulfilled it by circumcision. And sometime after, this is where we get into what we had just read at the start of this message. Three men showed up by where Abraham was encamped with Sarah. And Abraham, in chapter 18, as we had read, he greeted these three men, and bowing low to the ground, he offered them hospitality. You want to know why Abraham offered them hospitality? Because it was a custom of respect. As a person's reputation, or might I say, as a man's reputation. A man's reputation in those days of the Old Testament, it was largely connected to hospitality. The man's reputation was connected to his hospitality. And even in some cultures today, a man's reputation is still held by his hospitality. Many cultures in the Middle East carry still this value and motive and ethic in their culture even still today. The sharing of one's home and food to even strangers as highly honored guests. This was a man's reputation in those days. And that is why Paul said, do you remember that verse in Hebrews 13:7 that suggests that we, like Abraham, might actually be entertaining angels? That's why Paul said, you better make sure that as you see foreigners come, and as you see people on the side of the road and they ask you for something to eat, or they need something and you do not provide it, you better be careful, because you never know. You might just be in the midst of angels and God is wanting for you to entertain them. Servants of the Most High God. I remember a pastor, evangelist that came to preach at a church, and he walked in the front door dressed like a homeless person off the street, wore old, tore up clothes and rubbed dirt on his face and messed up his hair, and went and sat in the back of the church, and nobody greeted him. Nobody said hi to him. He was in the back and nobody said, God bless you. Everybody ignored him. They looked at him in weirdness. And the pastor said, today we have a guest speaker here. And he's going to bring us the word and share hope to us this morning. He said, why don't we accept the man of God with a hand clap of offering? And he said his name, and they looked around, and out stood the man that came in dressed up as a homeless. And he walked up to the pulpit and grabbed the mic and began to share the hope of God. And he said, not a person here today, as I walked in, loved me as if they were entertaining angels. You never know who God has around you, that you can be touching and serving. But more than anything, God will use it as an opportunity to cause a breakthrough in your life. Many times we miss out on the blessing of the Lord because we miss out on the instruction of God. Many times we miss out on the blessing of God because we're not paying attention to the test that God is placing before us that will bring him honor and praise. But that wasn't the story of Abraham. Abraham aced the test. These three men came and Abraham could have said, you know what, I just got circumcised. Abraham could have said, you know what, I'm in pain. I ain't gonna serve nobody. I'm hurting. What do you mean stop and feed these men? What do you mean give them water? What do you mean bow down and wash their feet? But he noticed quickly that what God had spoke a word over his life. And he understood that what now his mind was geared on making sure that every opportunity after God had spoke the word in his life meant something towards. That's what it means to do something meaningful or to have something meaningful in your life. Do you know what meaningful means? It means a purpose to its end. And see, God had spoken something meaningful in the life of Abraham. And Abraham at that moment, the light turned on in him and he said, now everything after this meaningful time of my life means something to God. When you gave your heart to Jesus, did you think some things were meaningful and some things weren't? No, your eyes had been enlightened. Your spirit was enlightened to know that what? Romans 8:28 declares that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called to his purpose. Nothing is by mistake. The flat tire on the side of the road, the broken windshield, the lack of milk in the house, the water, not being able to, everything has a purpose in your life from the moment God enlightened you with his word. And God had came to the life of Abraham and saying, I'm going to make a nation out of you, Abraham. I'm going to bless your offspring. I'm going to bless your descendants. Make this covenant with me, Abraham. And Abraham said, I will do so. He did what the Lord asked, and he was in pain because of the sacrifice of believing the covenant. And in the pain of believing God in that covenant comes the opportunity to serve. This is where many Christians blow it in their Christian life. This is where many Christians blow it. This is where I want to focus as the central part of my message tonight, is that Abraham was in much pain due to circumcision. And I can imagine late in life experiencing this pain. They said that this was supposed to be done to males at 8 years old, and Abraham had it done at 100. Wow. I can imagine that late in life experiencing a pain like that. Most of men today, they would have been bedridden until it healed. But Abraham was still functioning because God had spoken something meaningful in his life. When you gave your heart to Jesus, God gave you something meaningful, meaning that everything after the day you gave your heart to Jesus, everything was going to count towards the mark end of him returning for your life. Your life was going to have purpose. And adding to that, Abraham had to serve these men in that pain at the noontime of the day, which was the hottest time of the day, the peak of the heat. What pain Abraham was in. I believe that for many, it would be tempting to say, I'm the one in pain. I'm the one that has just undergone this experience of suffering or sacrifice. I want to obey God and live for him and display God to all through my life. So I need to take a break. That's what many of us would say. I need to take a break. I just did something sacrificing. I can't attend to these men. Hospitality is not even a question. But he put his suffering to the side and did what was right before God. Still, in hospitality, he served these men because they were messengers from God. He knew that they were messengers from God. When we are going through pain, we tend to think inward and not responding outward. We want to help ourselves and not others. We see need and ignore it on the basis on inward feelings. We ask God for a covenant. God, do something with my life and, you know, give me promises, Lord. And, you know, do something with my children and do something with my family. And then all of a sudden, God speaks a promise over your life. And you say, okay, Lord, I receive it. And God says, now it's circumcision time. And you what? You make the sacrifice and you go through the circumcision. And in the pain of the circumcision, then God asks you for what? Serve me. I want you to see this process here. Hebrews 6 declares, faith and patience inherits a promise. Faith and patience is what inherits a promise. God makes that covenant with us, which is his plan for our life and children, the affairs of our life, but it doesn't just end there. You see, many people come to God and say, God, speak a word over my life. Give me the purpose of my life. And God speaks a word and you accept him in your heart as your Lord and Savior and you end the story there. But I love the Aramaic version of Hebrews 6. It says, and that you should not lose heart, but that you would be imitators of those who by faith and patience have become heirs of the promise. Hebrews 10 verse 36 declares, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive your promise. It seems as if always, right after the good declarations of promises, God speaks to us, we agree, right? How many agree when the promises of God are spoken? You know, God says, you know, I'm going to bless your home and, I'm going to open up doors for you and, you know, I'm going to heal you and I'm going to, you know, give you a car and, you know, I'm going to prosper you in your job and, you know, that business, I'm going to prosper that business. We're all amens for those things, right? We're like, yeah, God, yeah, hallelujah. We're jumping. We never jumped before. We never screamed before. We were never ecstatic. All of a sudden, we become the greatest cheerleaders of God. Like, yeah, God, I accept it. I receive it. I believe it. There ain't no doubt in my heart. It's easy to receive the promises of God until sacrifice comes. And then after you overcome the sacrifice part, and then when God asks you to serve him, then we start thinking about, well, I don't know if I really want to go through with this. I heard one preacher say it this way. I was looking at a program and she said it like this. The time you gave for the enemy to mess you up in the world should at least be the same time you give God to do what he needs to do in your life. If you gave the world before coming to God 20 years, and the enemy messed you up for 20 years, had his way with your life for 20 years, you should at least give God 20 years too. Quit being unfair, she said. Quit being unfair with God. Look at that. Quit being unfair with God. The enemy had his way for 30 years of your life. Give God 30 years of your life. You can't just say, God, you saved me and I'm here, and 6 months later you give up. She said, quit being unfair with God. How do you give the devil 30 years and you give God only 6 months and you want to give up? Be fair with God. Abraham said, I'm trusting that God's promises are sure and I'm not going to give up. We were going nowhere in our lives. Do you remember that, church? You weren't going nowhere with your life before you met God. And then we encounter God and he begins to speak life into us. Hallelujah, praise God. He begins to speak purpose in us. Hallelujah, praise God. He begins to speak promises in our lives. Hallelujah, praise God. If we would obey him, live for him, that's what he said. And this is what the circumcision of Abraham meant. If you would live for me and you would be set apart for me and you would carry my name, I will set you apart from the rest of the people and I will bless you if you cut yourself off from your old life of sin. And let me tell you something. God told you, I'm going to bless you. God said, I'm going to restore you. God said, I'm going to lift you up. And then what did he say? But you got to let go of your old life. You got to let go of your old way of thinking. You got to let go of your old habits. I got to become your focus. I got to become your life now. I got to become your purpose of life. I got to become your aim of charge. I got to become the value in your being. I got to become the purpose of your family. I got to become the purpose of your marriage. And when you do that, when you circumcise yourself, when you cut yourself off from the world, then I will bless you. I will perform my covenant with you. And God said what? He's going to do it. And what? He begins to do it. Little do we know that God is doing it by what? By sending us how to serve. That circumcision hurt. How many remember how that circumcision felt? Say, what are you talking about, Pastor? You remember how that circumcision felt? To want a beer and you couldn't. You remember how that circumcision felt to decide I'm no longer going to do drugs anymore? And you're struggling, crying there, crying, saying, I can't do it. I can't go back. Many times that circumcision was days. Maybe it was that toxic relationship. And God said, I'm going to bless you with somebody that's going to love you and care after you. And I'm going to give you that promise. And you said, okay, Lord, I love you, God. And he said, but let go of that toxic relationship. And it's a struggle for you not to go back. Hallelujah. You're struggling not to go back. That pain and that agony of circumcision, of cutting off, it's right there. Remember how that felt? The feeling of circumcision in proving that you have accepted the covenant of God and you now belong to Him. That pain. Just understand that. In that pain, it is not for you to say, while I'm going through this, I can't serve. It's for you to say, I'm going through this and I want God to be glorified in my life. That old life, the circumcision to get rid of that old life hurt, the habits, the things harming to our covenant and our relationship to the one true God. It hurt. That circumcision hurt. They say that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Have you ever heard that saying? Can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's the same thing as to why God said, look, Abraham, you're going to have to pay the price. Don't say, I'm not going to tell you to do circumcision and say, well, you're too old. You missed the eight-year-old appointment. No, you're going to have to sacrifice and lead the change for a nation. You are going to have to be circumcised. What, God, I'm 100. You want the covenant that I've made with you? Yes, start it. Wow. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you're a mother. Maybe you're a grandfather. And God is saying, look, you want me to change your generations? Starts with you. But God, I'm already up there in age. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. God says, you come to me and you see what I can do with your life. It is never too late and it is never too early for God to do something in your generation. And God told Abraham, if you would obey me, I will bless your nations. I will bless the people and generations and descendants that come after you. Abraham. And Abraham accepted the covenant. And we believe that covenant, a promise God made to us. You know, despite the doubts, Abraham followed God's commands and trusted in God's words. And at the arrival of these three men, he served them, he showed them hospitality, and served them as he had faith in God. And little did he know that breakthrough began for him. It was a disguised breakthrough. Of those men, one spoke a message to Abraham, and I'm getting ready to close here, but he spoke a message to Abraham, and he said to Abraham, Abraham, as he was eating there, the Bible, if you read the story, you go through it, read it. I guarantee your life's going to be changed on how the Lord brought Abraham to being the father of many nations. The Word of God says that kings were going to come from his lineage. That's powerful. Kings were going to come. David came from his lineage. And out of David, the root, came Jesus. You know the promise that God gave David, being the descendant of Abraham? You know what God told David? He said, there will be no one missing on this throne after you. No one. Your descendant will sit on the throne forever. And out came who? Jesus. And who's sitting on the throne forever? Jesus. When God gives a promise, he does not fail in his promises. He completes his promises. Of those men that spoke the message to Abraham, as they were eating there and drinking the water, Abraham patiently letting them refresh themselves for their journey. One of the men there began to speak over the life of Abraham, a word that correlated with what God had already spoke to him in the previous chapter. He told Abraham, he said, where's your wife? He said, over there in the tent. He said, your wife is going to have at this same time of the year, same word that God had spoke to him. Abraham, same time this year, next year, your wife's going to have a child and his name's going to be Isaac. What? And the Bible says that Sarah heard from the tent. And what did she do? She laughed. She laughed. And what did the man say? Why do you laugh? It's going to be true. It's going to come to pass. And she tried to deny it. In her heart, look at this. God heard her thoughts. God heard her thoughts because she said in her thoughts, I'm already of an old age already. How can I have kids? How can I birth a child? And not only that, Abraham is old too. Man, the guy is as old as dust. How is this guy going to produce a child? And God says, if you would believe me, I can do all things. So powerful when somebody believes a covenant. Let me say this. You don't accept a covenant. You believe it. You don't accept a covenant. You're supposed to believe it. Many times we accept a covenant and we reject it later. Why? Because you didn't believe it. But when you believe a covenant, there ain't no turning back. If you learn a little later on in the life of Abraham, what was Abraham even willing to do for the covenant God had made with him? Sacrifice his own son. I can imagine Abraham taking his son up there, laying the sticks, getting the bed for the sacrifice. And his son said, Dad, we don't have a sacrifice. And his dad was like, Mijo, son, if only you knew. I'm willing to sacrifice you, but God will provide a sacrifice. And what did he say? That sacrifice is stuck in the thistle. He had so much faith that God would cause a wind to shake his horn out of the brush of thistle. Don't you ever be afraid to believe the covenant of God. I don't care if it seems as if it's impossible. God can cause a wind to shake the brush of the thistle, causing your sacrifice to be let go and for God to do what he promised. Don't you say it is far away. No, you believe the covenant that you have made with God. Every time the enemy comes back with temptation, every time the enemy comes back with the thought of going back to that old lifestyle, that old habit, you believe the covenant that you made with God. You didn't suffer for nothing. You didn't sacrifice for nothing. You did it because you believed God. And I'll tell you something, what God has ahead of you is greater than the things that the enemy wants to offer you that is so passive now. It might be a short-term enjoyment, but it is not going to be a fulfilling eternal enjoyment. And what God has for you outweighs the suffering of this world, outweighs what the enemy can offer you that is short term. What God has made as a covenant with you is a descendant a covenant. It is a covenant for your children. It is a covenant for your grandchildren. It is a covenant for your great grandchildren. God has made a covenant with you. And it's not for you to accept it. It's for you to say, I believe it. I believe what God has spoken over my life. Have you ever experienced something like that? I'll give you an example. You meet somebody random, and all of a sudden, you start conversations with this person, and it starts to reveal how much you have in common. And you're like, whoa, man, we're like in the same time of our life. Like, whoa, out of all the people I could have met, I met somebody that's going through the same exact issue. And then you guys talk a little bit more, and that person does something as a profession, and you do something as a profession, and you guys figure out that he needs your services and you need his services. You're like, whoa, like, wow, God set it up to where, you know, that person I just met that I didn't even know, he does something of a job that I need help with. Like, wow, man, this is so crazy. I've been in many instances like that. And all I can say is, God, you never cease to amaze me, to show me that you're in charge of my direction. Because I have believed your covenant. I don't care if you have fallen, get right back up. God's covenant does not expire. It is believed. I don't care if you've fallen short, get right back up. Believe the covenant of God. I don't care if it seems like you had a slip up, believe the covenant of God. You can get right back up and believe it once again. You don't have to live discouraged saying, I messed it up. I messed it up and God forgot it now. You know, and God tore up the covenant papers. God tore up the what? The interchanging of something. That's what God was doing. He was making a deal with Abraham. He told Abraham, if you do this, I will do this. There was an interchanging of plans. And I'm telling you something, God has made a plan with you that does not expire until what? Until there is no more air in your lungs. That is when the plan has expired. And I pray that you would believe the covenant of God. That you would believe his plans for your life. God is not done. But I want you to just understand something. It's God working in your life. God is testing and affirming his promises with you. You know what took place at the time of my accident there in the state of Utah has happened to me time and time again. God affirming his plans with me. God affirming his plans with me. And there was times where I met somebody that was really the next step to my blessing. And I say to myself, if I wouldn't have obeyed God to do what he asked me to do, I wouldn't be where I am today. I believed God's covenant with me. I truly believed God's covenant with me when I was at the altar of Cornerstone Church 2008. I believed God's covenant. And I stood there and I raised my hands and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. And I believed God's covenant with me. Now you ask me, Pastor, did you change everything from one day to the next? No. I was messing up. I still had dirt. But I believed God's covenant. I believed it. God's grace is extended to me every day since then. It has been extending. Pastor Eddie said this to us last year. Don't ask God for strength. Ask him for grace. Ask him for grace. And I ask him for grace every day. I ask him for grace every day as a father, as a husband, as a leader for many. I ask him for grace. Why? Because that day when I gave my heart to Jesus, gave my life to him, I made a covenant with him. I decided circumcision from an old life that I never wanted to return to again. Maybe you need to be encouraged today and reminded that God has a covenant with you. God has a covenant with you, your family, your marriage, your children. God has a covenant with you. And it might seem like, what? Me? Messed up? A failure? Making mistakes? God has a covenant with you. And what does God do at a covenant? He tells you what you need to do. You accept, and God begins to work. And as God begins to work, you're with the pain of what? Circumcision. That's the way it played out for Abraham. Look at this. God came to Abraham, told him his promises. One of the directions that God had given Abraham was circumcision, which meant what? A cutting off from the old life of sin, right? And Abraham completed with that circumcision that caused much pain. Look at this, that's step two. And in the process of healing and feeling the agony and pain physically of the covenant he made with God, then comes serving. That's the process for every believer. We come to the Lord and we say, God, come into my heart, make me a new person, change me, restore me. And God says, I got plans for you. A hope, a future, welfare, not plans of evil, right? And we say, thank you, Lord, I receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you. And then God says, what? You need to start changing this. You need to start changing that. Hey, I need circumcision in this area of your life. And this needs to come out. And you need to stop thinking this way. You need to stop operating that way. And those things hurt. Come on, can somebody agree with me? Those things hurt. Saying no to those things hurt. It hurts. We can't stand here and say, no, it didn't hurt me. I let it all go. You're lying. Then I pray that you'd start touching the things that actually hurt to let go of. If it didn't hurt you to let go of it, then there has to be something that will hurt that you've got to let go of. Every person that has come to the Lord has hurt at some point in life, letting go of something that doesn't please God. And in those points of circumcision, we say, we want to be curled up. Look at this. We want to be curled up in the tent hurting. Right? We want to be curled up in the tent hurting and saying, oh, poor me. I made a sacrifice and I'm doing this for God. Oh, poor me. And then all of a sudden God says, sends three men for you to serve. God gives you, presents a need right in front of you, and he says, serve me. And we get discouraged and we pull back. We pull back at the moment God calls on us to serve him. I pray with all of my heart that as Christ has come into your heart and that as you have decided circumcision to be set apart for God, the glory of God, that you would say, God, I'm not afraid to serve you. That might mean you're going through financial need and God is using you to bless. I've been there many times where I got financial need in my life and God says, go and bless them with milk and go and bless them with chicken and go and bless them with salad and go and bless them with food. And there I go, out of my need. I'm like, man, I need this, but I'm going to trust God because I made a covenant with God. And I go over there and I say, hey, do you need anything? They say, oh, man, you know, God bless you. I so greatly appreciate it, you know, that you would take out of, you know, what is extra for you. We know you got bills, but that you would take out of, they say, that you would take out of the extra, you know, to bless us. And I'm like, I'm not taking out of the extra. I'm taking out of what I need. I'm taking out of my milk. I'm taking out of my eggs. I'm taking out of my bread. I'm taking out of my gas. But I'm doing it because God told me to. Because I got a covenant with God. I made a covenant with him. And I know that God has my back. Tonight I want to just tell you, God has your back. For every person that's in here tonight, God has your back. God has your back. That you would trust him in the plans that he has for your life. there where you are, here that you're in here, let's stand to our feet. Let's receive the truth of God's word right now. God, we give you thanks, Lord, for your word. I give you thanks, Lord, that you do not grow tired with us. God, you don't grow tired with us. Though we fail, you don't grow tired with us. Your promises are everlasting. Lord, your word says that your promises are everlasting. Oh, God. And some of us are going through some things in our life right now, Lord, and we're not wanting to look outward. We're wanting to look inward. We're wanting to sob and cry and complain about life. But God, you're wanting to already manifest and bring out to light and develop the calling that you have for us. Here we are trying to be in a cave, God, and here you are trying to pull us out, God, and use us for your glory and your honor, Lord. Lord, let us not be afraid, God. Let us not be afraid, Lord, to show that you are our God. Let us not be afraid, Lord, to press in, God, and believe your promises. You are the God that does the impossible. Our family, Lord, our finances, Lord, our relationships, God, you are the God that does the impossible. God, we give you thanks, Lord, because we're an instrument of your glory. We are instruments of your glory, God. We are instruments of your glory, God, that you would be glorified among men, God. The glory is not for us, Lord, it's that men would look unto you and know that you can make a covenant with them. That they would believe that you have a promise for them, God. For every person that's in this place and viewing online, God, encourage their spirit right now, Lord. You have a purpose for every one of our lives, God. Where they are discouraged, where they have been brought low, God. Lord, the pains and the sacrifices of circumcision in their life, having to let go of things, God, for you, God. Lord, that they would not feel embarrassment, that they would not feel regret. God, that they would praise you and glorify you, Lord, because you're doing more wonderful things in their life, God. And Lord, the things that we have had to let go of, it's because you got greater things in store for us, God. You have greater things in store for our family, Lord. There is a greater meaning to our life, God. And we give you glory and honor, Lord. Maybe you're viewing online. You're saying, Pastor, I want to give my heart to Jesus. Well, I want to rededicate my heart to the Lord. That covenant with God. I want you to just pray this prayer with me in faith. That's what the Bible says we need to have is faith. Faith is what saves. Not works. Faith. Faith saves. Faith in who? Jesus. And tonight, that's who you're saying, Pastor, I have faith. God can do it in my life. I want you to just repeat this prayer with me. Just in faith. Say, Lord, I come before you. I recognize my failure, my sin. But you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for all my sins, past sins, present sins, and future sins. Come into my heart, make me a new person. And I know you can, because I believe that Jesus Christ rose again on the third day. Jesus Christ, be my Lord and Savior from today and forevermore. Amen. Father, Lord, as they have made a covenant with you, God, that they would begin to see the plans of that covenant, God, into effect. Lord, every bondage of addiction, Lord, of heaviness, burden over their spirit, God, I just declare, Lord, that you just break those chains right now, God, that they would feel relief, Lord, in their spirit. Lord, that they would begin to feel relief in their home and in their family, God, that they would no longer feel bound, Lord, that there is no hope or future for them, God. I speak life over every person in this place and viewing online, God. life and life in more abundance, Father. Just as you spoke the word of covenant to Abraham, Lord, you have given them a covenant today, God, that as they set apart and stand for you, God, for the glory of your name, Lord, and live to show your name approved in their life, God, that you would bless them, Lord. That you would bless them, Lord. God, we give you thanks tonight for this word of encouragement, Lord. We are set apart. Yes, we are. We are set apart, God. We are your people, Lord. And we are carriers of a covenant that you have made with us, God. Use us, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord, for this time of wisdom, knowledge. Let us take this word. Let it penetrate in our hearts. That our lives would continually be changed because of it. Lord, that those that come in contact with us, Lord, that they would receive this promise through our lives, Lord. We give you thanks and we give you honor for your grace that is sufficient. And as we leave this place, Lord, your grace will take us home. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you, church. We'll see you this Sunday at 10:30 a.m.